Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Smart Faith Podcast, coming to you from the middle of nowhere in West Texas. My name is Joe Sisk, and you can email me at smartfaithpodcast@yahoo.com. Definitely check out revelationsradionetwork.com for all your podcast needs. I do apologize for having been a while since I've been on the mic. I'm still in my temporary residence situation, and when there's 9 people in a small house, it's hard to go anywhere there isn't somebody already there. And I'm just one of these type of people, I have to record alone. I have to at least believe or at least feel like I'm alone to be able to record. So it takes me a little time to wait for everybody to have everybody leave or get situation to where there's a room free that I can go into by myself and record. So I do apologize for that. But I had a hearing for to help change my financial situation. That I won't get into the details of that, but just suffice it to say the good Lord has blessed me here recently in that situation, and it looks like we will be getting that taken care of and hopefully resolved permanently here very, very soon. So thank you all for the prayers that have been praying for me and my situation. We are we definitely have some major progress in that front. So the financial situation is coming together. So it's really want to mention that to everybody. Also want to mention that a bit of that God answers prayers. I've had some people in my life that I've really been praying for certain things, and God has really come through and delivered in their lives and shown His mightiness, and I've just really been amazed about how wonderful and how awesome of a God that we serve. And I just want to give a praise report. I don't want to give any details on what's going on because of the respect to the privacy of the people involved, but I just want to say God answers prayers. God does look down and hear us, and God takes care of us, and I just want to praise His name and glorify His name for all of His tender mercies and for all the prayers that He does answer, whether they be in the way we want, and I know sometimes God answers prayers in ways that, what's the old saying, God answers prayers yes, no, and not right now. There's a lot of times He does say no, and that's okay too, and I praise His name for those times too. But I just wanted to praise Him for everything that He does for us, and for the way He's been moving in my life and moving in the people around me's life that I've had the wonderful opportunity to witness. So, praise God. Praise God in the highest for that. All right, let's go ahead and get into today's episode. Today's episode is Love God. Now, in Mark 12, 30 and 31, we have a very important command given to all Christians. This command is at the very heart of all Christianity. And the command is in Mark 12:30, which is the one we want to mainly work with today. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Of course, the second one is like it, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandments greater than these. Okay, so if we don't go about living out these commands, especially loving God, and our walk with God is going to suffer for it, if not fail completely. Today we're going to be discussing how we can love God and how we can affect that love into our lives. Alright, let's consider first, thou shalt love the Lord thy God as a whole, as a little section first. Notice first off, this is a command, not a request or a suggestion. You are to, thou shalt love thy Lord, the Lord thy God. There is no hesitation. There is no, request. There is nothing to it other than you are commanded to love God. This is something that you have to do. This is a clear imperative here that we are to do this as we are told. There isn't any other way of looking at it other than a direct command from God Himself. The word translated here as love is the word for the highest form of love, or as Thayer's Greek definitions puts it, to love dearly, okay? This is telling us that we are to have the highest affection for God, to love with what we would call our best love, our deepest love, and our most sincere love. Okay, so we're to love God with everything we have and with the purest of our love, with the greatest of our love that we can muster. This also means that we must love God above all things. We cannot hold anything in common with God. Nothing can be more important than God to us, or else we fail the standard of love that we are commanded to hold. So be sure that when you love God, it is with a love that precludes all other things, else you're in trouble. Now you need to love God more than you love your Xbox, okay? More than you love your car, more than you love your tool set, more than you love your even your spouse, your wife. You need to love God with a love that is greater than all things, than everything in this reality, everything in this world except for Him. You need to love Him beyond every physical material thing in this world, and beyond anything, beyond pleasure, beyond any kind of vice, beyond any kind of object. You need to love Him totally. All right, let's look at the next section, which says, with all thy, okay, which tells us that we are to love God with our whole being, with everything that we have. If you hold something back, you're failing. We must give our best effort and nothing less, okay? God wants everything from us. He doesn't want us to love Him halfway. He doesn't want a halfway kind of love. Excuse me. Next up is to love with all thy mind, okay? So, with all thy mind, this is telling us that we must love God on an intellectual level. This means we must love God in knowledge. The biblically ignorant cannot truly love God to their full potential, as is so important. Look at Romans 10:3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. They're not submitted unto the righteousness of God because they don't know it. So they're messing up even though they're not aware of it. But they're still messing up because they're ignorant of God's righteousness. Now here's another verse about ignorance, Ephesians 4:18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. All right, and finally consider this. Consider this. John 14:15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. It's difficult to keep that which you do not know. Finally, we have the famous verse, Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. And thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will forget also thy children. Okay, so we are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We need to love God with our mind, and the only way to do that is to know God through the Bible. To love God with all our minds, we must study the Scripture, as Scripture tells us. Deuteronomy 17:19 says, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes and to do them. Okay, read what now? What's that talking about? He shall read therein the word of God, of course. By staying in the word, we can show God how much we love him. Isaiah 34:16, seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. For in my mouth it hath commanded, in his spirit it hath gathered them. You know, seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. We need to seek out the book of God and read it and show God our love for Him by reading it and by gaining wisdom through it. Our love of God must include the wisdom we gain from reading. Jesus put it like this, John 5:39. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So the Scriptures tells us of Jesus. That's where we learn of eternal life. You know, these are the things we need. And this is the way we need to worship God. Finally, consider this word from the Bible. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Because if you love God, you're going to know His Word. You're going to study His Word. You're going to understand what He's saying, what He's talking about, what's going on, how things are, and what's being done. We must fill our minds with the truth, which is God's Word, of course. 2 John 1:4. I rejected greatly that I found a... I'm sorry, let me start over there. 2 John 1:4. I rejoiced greatly that I found thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. We've received a commandment from the Father to walk in the truth, and we should find great rejoicing when we find each other walking in the truth, because we have a commandment, all of us have a commandment from the Father to love with all our minds. So what greater thing to see your brothers and your sisters in Christ doing just that, walking in that kind of love. God wants us to have the truth and to hold on to it tightly. 3 John 1:3 says, "For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou hast walked in the truth." Let us walk in the truth always, thereby enabling ourselves to love God truly with all our minds. Alright, next we have with all our hearts. Now this is the flip side of intellectualism and intellectual love. We are to love God emotionally. Now some are afraid to do this because they don't want to be pew jumpers or the like, or some other terms, derogatory terms you could come up with. But we should never allow the opinion of men to shape what we do for God. We need to have an honest, emotional love for God, one born from our hearts as well as from our minds. Emotions are important in the scriptures, as we can see in a few different places. First we see it in Luke 10:20. "Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Now rejoicing is to have an emotional response. And rejoicing is an emotional event in your thing that you're doing. You know, when you rejoice for something, it's not a cold intellectual thing. It is something that comes from your heart. Romans 12:15, "Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep." Well, just as rejoicing is an emotional response, so is weeping, obviously. This shows us that emotions are acceptable and even required for a complete approach to loving God. Let's look at one last emotional verse, Philippians 4:4, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." So rejoicing is something, you know, having an emotional response is something we need to have for God. You need to love God with your heart, with your emotions, like you really do care. You know, you can love intellectually and study and have all that, but you need to have an honest, heartfelt, deeply touched by your heart kind of love too. Alright, now we have with all your soul. Now this is loving God with all your life, as this word is translated as life over 30 times in the King James Bible. It also means breath and indicates that we must give our very all to God, that we must love Him from a deepness in our personal selves. We must be willing to give ourselves over to God completely and live a sacrificial life for God. When you say sacrificial life and you start talking about giving yourself over to God completely, the first verse that comes to my mind is Romans 12:1-2, which says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." These verses represent a transformation, a metamorphosis of the person from broken and lost to a child of God. To love God completely, we must undergo this change, this transformation, else we are not loving God with all our lives, our souls, or our breath. And we must do that to have this complete love. Along with being transformed, we must also love to the point of self-sacrifice. If you don't love God enough to give your life for Him, then you're not loving Him with all your abilities. Matthew 16:25, "For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." Christ is clearly making the same point right here. Care more for yourself and lose out. Care more for Him and He will take care of you. To love God completely, you must give Him your life. You must give Him your life to His service. Give over your everything and be willing to die for Him if that's what's required of you. Okay, that is the kind of love that needs to be coming from our souls, to where we are willing to give our lives to God if that's what He wants of us. Now let's look at with all your strength. Now, strength in this one, I'm going to break down to in a couple subsections here. This means abilities, money, and time, I think, is a good explanation of strength. Ability is the first one I want to look at. We must give to God those things that we can do, which would be our literal strength. If you can go lift something up that's heavy and make, you know, the church better, or make, you know, do render service to God by doing it, well then, you know, you are literally using your strength. You know, but I mean, I think we can look at strength as in, you know, what is our general strengths. Like, you know, I'm strong in this area. You know, like I'm a tech-savvy person, or, you know, I'm a carpenter person, or I'm a mechanic person, or what kind of thing like that. and use those kind of strengths for God as well. Think of the servants and the talents, as told by Christ in Matthew 25:14-30, in which the servants performed according to their abilities, save one who was punished when the master returned. And that's the one where he gives them like five. Guy's got five, and he gets five, and the master gives him five, and he goes out and takes his five and puts it in the stock market, basically, and turns around and makes another five out of it. One guy gets three, and he goes out and puts it into an investment, makes another three off of it. And then one guy gets one, but instead of going out and investing it and turning a profit onto it, he buries it in the sand because he's worried that the master is going to get mad if he loses it. But instead of using the opportunity to make gains on the money, he just broke even by, when the master come back, he gave his one talent, the one piece of money back. You know, it's called a talent. And the master was mad because everybody else had gone out and used opportunities to increase what they had. And this one servant was what he called lazy and didn't do it. He just sat on what he had and didn't use his talents to increase it. You know, and didn't use his literal abilities to increase it. You know, so many people are like the disobedient servant, and their abilities are not used for God or are never developed at all. If you can do something, do it for God. Give God your first and best in your abilities. Giving your talents for God is an absolutely awesome way to live your life, and there's nothing better. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. This includes doing the things God has granted you as gifts, such as our talents and abilities. Giving your talents to God is an awesome thing. Trust me, I can tell you. I mean, I may not be very talented at doing this. I may not be a great podcaster, but my goodness, it's something that He's given me the ability to do. And I give it back to Him, you know, and there's nothing like doing it. It's really an awesome thing. Now, let's consider money as a subsection of strength here. Now, we're not going to go too deep on the money thing. But, you know, we do need to give of our money to God as well. He gave us all reality. The least we can do is spare a few bucks in the offering plate, right? I mean, come on. He gave us this wonderful world to live in. You know, He gave us the planet Earth to live in, and all the stars and the space and everything else that, you know, envelops the Earth, that makes everything run. The least we can do is give Him a dollar or two, right? 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, every man according to his purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or in necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God loves when we love Him and give of what we have willingly. So we should definitely be doing that. Alright, let's look at our time as a subset of strength. Giving our time shows that God, that we love Him and we're willing to set aside about that resource that defines our very existence. You know, time is something that we as mortals cannot escape. It is something that defines us. And if we're going to be willing to take the time that we have on this earth and give it back to God, that says something. That says where our affection is, where our heart is. Ephesians 5:15 says, see then see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Okay, redeem time by serving God with your life. This is where true wisdom lies. Psalms 90:12 says, so teach us the number of our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Apply your heart unto wisdom every single day you can, and your love for God will be even further manifested. Do it every single day. I mean, do it as many moments of the day as you possibly can. Colossians 4:5. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Always redeeming the time. Give back the time to God. He gave it to you, so give it back to Him. You know, use your time to serve God, and that will show your love and manifest your love. In conclusion, we must understand that we cannot love God with all our souls and strength if we don't love Him also with our hearts and minds. Loving God is more than just lip service. It's something that we must do for real, and that we all have to do if we're going to really love Him. God doesn't need anyone loving Him halfway or without all their being. He doesn't seek that. Doesn't want that. He wants us to love Him as we are commanded, with everything we have. Everything. I cannot emphasize this enough. Love Him with your all or not at all. Pretty simple. though not at all, carries some pretty severely nasty consequences, and is definitely not recommended. So love God with all your heart, and all your soul, and all your mind, and all your strength. And until next time, my friends, God bless.